Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, we're going to be talking about Memorial Day. You know, what does this mean in the context of this national celebration? And we want to remember, when you look up the definition of memorial, it is something that you do to help you remember something and remember an event. And the Memorial Day today in America is about remembering those who laid down their life for us and it gave the ultimate sacrifice. And I wanted Steve to be on television, on the air today with us because I'm honored to say that he stood up for us and fought for us in America by serving two tours of duty in Iraq. And first of all, I want to say thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
And I want you to give us a perspective. You know, today I'm a, you know, that, you know, of course, all of our soldiers deserve a gratitude and we're sorry about what's happening with VA. And our prayer is that, you know, this is going to be resolved quickly. But, man, what is it like? I'm going to just give us a day in the life of sand. No, give us a day in the life of what it's like
hot.
As a soldier. Because I know when
it's
I was
really
in, when I was in the Navy, you know, when you got underway, that's when you were just in this mode. You just didn't stop. I mean, you just slept, ate, worked. Mm-hmm. You didn't. They knew better because if we would have paused, we probably got in trouble. But it's just this. They would call it general quarters and being prepared and that type of thing. But what was it like? I mean, here you are. We're in this war going on mm-hmm. over in Iraq. There's a whole bunch of dissension in America about, you know, am I for it? Am I against it? People that were for it changed their minds. It's like, but I'm still in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still in this thing. What was happening based on your experience? Talk to us about that. What was it like in the life of a soldier in Iraq? Yeah.
Well, the whole idea in the conversation, as far as like you're saying, for it or against it, it wasn't even a conversation. The whole thing was the fact of one objective at a time, one mission at a time. You prepare your trucks, you go out beyond, you know, friendly lines, and you're responding day by day.
What kind of trucks were these?
Well, they were just Humvees. You know, you had a patrol or six or seven trucks. You're outfitting them with your weapons and all your gear and everything that's needed because you might be outside of friendly lines for a week up to a month. You don't know. And you're just in response of just like, okay, hey, we were supposed to be out here for a week and we just got extended 2 more weeks. So we're going to be sleeping out wherever we are. And
around whoever they
exactly.
are.
Like,
you don't know who's the enemy, who's not.
Exactly. And we were one of the few units that we would go out into an Iraqi village mm-hmm. and we would basically, you know, be in a village, in a home. And
in someone's home?
In someone's home.
Did it look like an American home? Or did it look like
no, it wasn't an American
rock
home.
And wood
They were all different and we each had our own, you know, characteristics that we would look for to take a home for a month because we would set out patrols from there.
So you would pick a home for a month?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we would go and get there at like 2 o'clock in the morning because mm-hmm. we would set up security and then we would set out patrols from there and really have a presence mm-hmm. in an Iraqi village at for an unknown period of time.
Right. Right.
And the difficult thing was, like you're saying, it's just like, you don't know what that day is going to bring. You might just all of a sudden find out that, you know, a truck hit an IED, and now you're in response and making
sure. And what's an IED?
An IED is basically a roadside bomb. IED stands for improvised explosive device.
So it rolls over it, and then an explosion takes place.
Right. And there's so many different variables of what can happen in that, but it's just like you.
Wasn't that the biggest form of injury to our soldiers
oh, yes.
was IEDs?
Oh, yes.
Which is this unknown, you don't know yeah. if this moment your life's going to be taken the next time that wheel rolls over one more round.
Yeah. And that was that constant pressure of stress because you're driving down the road and, you know, in a Humvee, you've got five guys for the most part. You got four guys inside and then you got a guy up top who's your turret gunner. And if he's the front truck, point truck, he's your eyes for the whole patrol. So there's a lot of awareness that he has to have, paying attention to every little bump or foreign
right.
object in the road because it might be. You
right.
don't know.
And I remember Rich Gill, by the way, that he was part of helping design a armor protection mm-hmm. for this guy on the top because even those guys didn't know if a sniper.
Yeah.
And that the enemy would run promotional videos and showing their snipers, trying to get people to be snipers to be able to take out our men and women who were in that particular position. I remember that Rich had made that thick steel to go around because the Humvees weren't really equipped to be able to do what they were going through.
No, and that was the hard thing, is because how we were responding was basically just putting more armor on the trucks, and it was just really contrary to what they were designed for, and it was that constant responding to how the enemy was responding to us, and we were responding with armor, and just that constant back and forth. Mm-hmm. But also something that really affected us was the fact that we would be in response, all of a sudden we would get intelligence and be responding to an objective and have contact.
Mm-hmm. What's contact again?
Contact basically being the fact that we have people shooting at us.
Oh, that's it.
So
yeah, we call contact something you put in your eye. You gotta be more. You gotta find that a little bit. So somebody's shooting at you.
Right, right. So all of a sudden, you know, we've got four or five trucks, and we're getting information, basically saying, "Hey, this is a bad area. This is a bad house. Go check it out." So we'd be like, wow. "Okay, hey, possible contact. Just be, you know, be on the heads up."
It's such a nice word for being shot at.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, if you're on the radio, you have to be able to say what you need to say in a very concise, brief way.
We would say signal 36, law enforcement.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm in trouble.
So you would hear, hey, be advised, you know, Vic 1 in contact, stand by. And all of a sudden they'd be like, okay, everybody's listening intently because, now there's shots being fired. So now you're waiting for a situational heads up. Hey, did somebody get hit? Is somebody safe?
Right.
And that was a hard thing because Memorial Day has become a very sober day for me, and remembering the cost, remembering what it means, remembering the loss and the sacrifice. And it's very significant today, you know, in Memorial Day, when you celebrate in the month of May. I remember May 17th, 2006 was a very difficult day because there was a day that we had contact, and our actual corpsman Lee, I remember the very morning before we stepped off on a specific patrol, we were joking, having a good time, eating our MRE, and a few hours later, I didn't realize that we were going to have contact, and I was going to be carrying his body away from the objective. And the very startling thing is just like, you train so much that it just doesn't faze you as far as what's happening, that you're just responding, and you're trying to minimize casualties as much as possible. So it's days like today when you realize
was he wounded?
Or? He was down. He was dead. He was down.
So here you are having a meal and MREs, a meal ready to eat, and you guys are having a meal together.
Yep.
And you're going out there and you are fighting for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that when contact happened, when firing happened, that it was the corpsman.
Yeah.
It was the Navy corpsman, actually. It's the Navy corpsman that are there. And this day is about him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's about him. And I was hoping that we can grab that moment because there's so many situations like that. But yeah, so you're carrying his body away from this, I guess shots are being fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be, I mean, talk to us about
that. Yeah. We had, we had one whole platoon, which was basically five different vehicles, about 15 to 20 guys just on the objective. And we had a whole another platoon in response, giving us security, which was another 20 guys. And it was a very bad day. I mean, I won't go into details, but it was, you know, and Lee's just one guy. I think about, you know, those moments because there's no preparation sometimes in war. Like, I remember another day when we were back, like I said, when we had taken a village or we had taken a home where we were sending out patrols, and we were talking because it was our time when we were not on patrol, but there was another team that was on patrol, and we had heard a very faint, distant explosion. We didn't know what it was, and a couple seconds later it came over the radio that a specific vehicle had contact. And what it turned out was there was a vehicle that had hit an IED, and the team leader, Mark, was killed.
Mm.
And it's those days when you remember, you know, June 6th, May 17th, those days that will always be emblazoned on my heart because I think about, you know, Mark's mom. I think about Lee's wife. I think about those family members because Memorial Day is not about hot dogs to me.
No, not.
It's not about a parade. It's not about a picnic. And a lot of times people look at veterans and they think they're weird, or they think that they just don't get it, or they ask, you know, why can't you just have a good time? Because they understand freedom. They understand the cost. It's an emotional day. It really is. And it's hard to... it's hard to be in that picnic, and sometimes you just got to get away and take a walk and remember those moments.
Right.
Because freedom's not free.
No.
And I think about those guys because they gave that ultimate cost. They paid that price so that we can have that freedom. And when you think about those mothers, you think about those wives, you think about those children that aren't going to meet their dad.
Right.
Or their mother. Or their mother. And it's just those that are fighting right now. And that has continually been on my heart, because the hardest thing for me, too, is that when I left and I came back home from Iraq, just because I left the war doesn't mean the war stops.
Just because you left the war doesn't mean the war left you, right?
Exactly.
We'll talk about that when we come. But that happened 4,804 times in Iraq. Lees and Marks and Bobs and Smiths and Janes and... You know, and this is what today is about. Today is a solemn day where we're just thinking, what am I doing with this freedom?
Right.
What am I doing with this freedom that we've been honored with? And so many people are wasting the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And also we want to talk about that as Christians, you know, Jesus gave his life to give us freedom. And the question is, what are we doing with the freedom that he gave us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once you understand that freedom's not free, you don't waste any freedom. You live everything on purpose. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do, you realize that every day is a gift. Where we're talking about trying to grasp today as this Memorial Day. You know, what is Memorial Day? Because you look around and it's being made other things. You know, this is my day off. This is a paid holiday. This is like, why is it paid? And why do I have it off? Is it so I can go just think about myself more? I mean, that's what we really need to do in America, right?
Right.
And Steve's talking to us about, you know, it's a day that we remember those who paid the ultimate price for us to have this freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And with their life and with their health. And the biggest insult in the day, Memorial Day, we're right in the middle of a VA crisis right now where other veterans have died because we didn't take care of them when they came back. But speaking of coming back, I mean, here you were, you know, going through, you know, fighting for our freedom. And you come back to a nation who is not connected with the reality that freedom's not free. What was it like to come back to America from Iraq?
Extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. That is a gross understatement. It was the hardest... absolutely hardest transition of my life, the hardest season of my life. Mm. And me being one of many, because you have guys that have literally been blown out of trucks, out of Humvees, and are still alive.
Right.
And guys who have injuries when the guy sitting 3 feet away from them is buried at Arlington. And you have to, that memory doesn't just leave you because you come home. Those scars, just because they're on the inside, just because you don't have a limp, doesn't mean that you're not still dealing with that.
You have a physical limp, doesn't mean you don't have a limp in your heart.
Exactly. And the hard thing is, too, is I think about the guys that are still trying to get a constant job because they don't know how to transition. It's been 5 years and they can't hold a steady job because it's not just an easy transition. And guys that are still trying to deal with that. And
you think about post-traumatic stress disorder, really is you define it as living in a constant state of stress without release.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the fight or flight thing. Well, you got to fight continually. You can't flight. There's no flight. And so staying in that place for a long time, and then all of a sudden you come to this decompression zone where nobody's ever been under that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how do you relate to that?
It's even almost more stressful being home because you have no one to relate to.
Right.
And it's very difficult because when you try to open up to anyone, there's just a blank wall of
disconnect.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make sense. And it's just like you're losing that much more of a reality of how do I do this? How do I be an American
right.
again?
When you actually were the ultimate American who went and fought for America's freedom, mm-hmm. that we as a nation are so disconnected that freedom's not free,
mm-hmm.
and there's an ultimate price. When you go to Arlington Cemetery, when you go and you look at all the thousands and thousands of men and women who gave their life for mm-hmm. us to have this freedom, and then you hear people frivolously talking about the U.S. Constitution like they want to, you know, just throw it out or whatever. Like, that's what they died for. They died mm-hmm. for the right to have the U.S. have this constitutional rights. It's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's offensive to a man or a woman who lost a family member to fight for this country, and you to desecrate the flag, or you to speak against what they gave their life for. And the only reason you can speak, have that freedom to speak, is because what they fought for. Mm-hmm. They fought for the constitutional right for you to say that, which means of all the days we should honor Memorial Day, because that's the day that lets some people just be ignorant. And
right.
they can say whatever they want to say throughout that year. But this is the one day that we say, you know, we need to honor
right.
those that died to give us that right, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like having that constant remembrance of the cost. And it's just, that's really something that has always stuck out to me. And I am for all branches. Air Force, Army, Navy.
That's pretty good coming from a Marine.
Yeah, all of them. one thing that has just stuck out to me is just like there's something about Marines. It's just like they've been on the front lines. They know what it's like to suffer that loss. Mm-hmm. And I've always, like when I see the Vietnam vets, or I'm seeing an Iwo Jima survivor or seeing a World War II survivor, and you mm-hmm. see them, and there's a look in their eye that only other Marines can really attest to and understand. And I remember seeing those of my past generation and seeing them. I remember seeing a guy who was a Vietnam veteran, and I started talking to him in about 5 minutes, and he just looked at me, and I remember this was just a few months after I got home from Iraq. He looked at me, and he says, "You just got back, didn't you?"
Wow.
And that just right there just so just hit my heart, and I remember just talking to him for about 5 minutes, and his wife was sitting next to him and interjected, and she says, "You know, I'm jealous of you two right now." And I asked her why, and she says, "You have a relationship with my husband yeah. in 5 minutes that I have been unable to have for 30. And there's something about that empathy, who's for somebody who's been there, whether it's past generation or somebody who is there with you,
mm-hmm.
that those who have not been there, they just don't know. And being able to have that in remembrance of Memorial Day and remembering that this is a day of sacrifice. It's
right.
a day of understanding the cost that was paid.
Right.
It's so much more. And when we have that as Americans, we understand the value of the other 364 days of the year.
Right.
I just heard a Marine recently say, there's a statement, and you probably know it, but it says that to those who've been in it, you don't have to explain it. And those who haven't been in it don't need to say anything because they won't understand it. But there's a better said mm-hmm. statement to that. And because you just know, mm-hmm. you know, you've been there. That's what he said. And that's why I wanted you to be here, to be able to speak to all of our audience about how to connect and to relate and how to honor those. Remember, everyone that gave the ultimate sacrifice, they have a family. They have parents and husbands and wives and children and, mm-hmm. you know, generations. And I was watching Senator Dole this Saturday at the Korean Memorial, and I guess it's the Korean War Memorial in Washington, D.C., so all these vets are coming in from the Freedom Flight and all that. And he goes there every Saturday to that connection you're talking about. And it was so beautiful because every one of them, even though they didn't fight necessarily all in the same place, they all had the connection that you're talking about. And they were all so thankful. And I was watching the wives saying, you know, how much it meant to them that he did this. He's the one that helped run. He's the funds for that memorial to remember those. I believe it's the Korean War. And it's just amazing. And I just want to say thank you for your service. I want to say thank you to the families who paid the ultimate price of sacrificing a loved one for us. And I know this freedom's not free. And we owe it a debt of gratitude to you. We need to do better at VA. We need to do better as a nation of honoring your sacrifice. But I do want to say this, the ultimate sacrifice as Christians, because freedom's not free. The reason why we're able to enter into heaven, the reason why we're able to live this life, victorious life, is because Jesus paid the price for us. He died for us. He gave his life so that we might be free. He took on our bondage and our sin and our darkness so that we ourselves could actually be saved by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Truly, the freedom in Jesus Christ is not free. Jesus paid the price. If you had not made a decision today to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, accept it today. Realize this freedom I'm talking about, it too is not free. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.